Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I know Paul goes on in this verse, but we'll get the essence of what I want to speak to you about this morning, the grace of Christ. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. One thing I want you to keep in mind, and I listened to a message earlier this morning by Martin Lloyd-Jones. All of these people, it's very interesting to me, when I read of the Corinthians and the Galatians and the Ephesians and the Colossians and the Philippians and the seven churches, sometimes I think that I lose sight of these were Christians. You go, how can a Christian live like that? These were Christians, and they had all sorts of problems. Some of them were very serious problems, like the church at Corinth. I mean, they had some real carnal issues. But they were brethren. And Paul said some of them, he turned one over to Satan to save his soul. But they were Christians. So that said, I want to talk to you a little about something. If I take one day of the week and keep it holy, and I think we've done that. I really do. I have, okay? If I take one day of the week and you might say keep it holy, am I not a debtor to do the whole law? Is one day esteemed above another? And if we carry this out to its logical conclusion, would we not end up putting people to death for violating the day? In other words, once you start down that path, this Levitical law path, where do you stop? Where is the point where, okay, we do this, but we don't do this. We don't do this, but you see. And then you have to explain to me how, and I separate this, you're not seeing it in my notes, Sunday, S-U-N, and then separate word day. How do we separate the Sunday, and how do we make it more holy than the Saturn day, or even the moon day? Because all our days are of pagan origin, you see. So which one's the most holy? I mean, really, I'm asking you, which day is the most holy? You see, my rest, my Sabbath is Christ. He is my Sabbath. He is my rest. And I don't have one special day for that. And he's as ever present on Thursday as he is any other. And I think we must never forget to whom the law was written and for what purpose. Way back when, to those people in Leviticus and all of that stuff. And so we, because the apostles, it's mentioned that on the first day of the week they assembled and they gathered tithes. So we assemble the first day of the week, and that's fine. If Sunday is the first day of the week, okay? I mean, is it? But what demands does that day carry? And what are the penalties for breaking those demands? Do you sort of understand? Listen, I've had some people get fire raging mad that were what we now call Sabbath keepers. They believe that Saturday, the seventh day, is the Sabbath. And if you don't, I mean, I think it's the fourth commandment. And the Sabbath is holy, the most holy ever. But my Sabbath is Christ Jesus. We're in the book of Galatians. If you go to Galatians chapter 4, and this whole book of Galatians, it really has to do with this. Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 through verse 11, he said, But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Turn ye again. We had these things. They were our schoolmaster, if you studied chapter 4. We had tutors. We had schoolmasters. I did. I don't know about you. And I'm talking about in the faith. The beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. You observe days. Do you see that? You observe days and months, times, and years. Paul said, I'm afraid of you, lest I've bestowed upon you labor in vain. Have I labored in vain? And if you turn back a couple books to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14. Verse 5. Paul, he these things occurred then as they occur now. He said, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Well, he said, okay, fine. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. If you've got this belief and you think you should do this, that's fine. And I've got this belief and I think we should do this, that's fine. But don't let a schism come in the family of God, in the faith. He said, go along with it. You know, I've got convictions about things that you don't have convictions about. You've got convictions about things that I don't have convictions about. And yet in Romans, and I've told you this before, this is why I went running through the house one day many years ago, Romans chapter 2 and verse 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law, when the Gentiles which have not the law, do by nature, amen, the new nature, the things contained in the law. We all do a lot of things that are contained in the law. You know why? Because we received the nature of Christ. These, having not the law, do you see it? Are a law unto themselves. Boy, that can be a very dangerous thing to a Baptist. Hey, oh man, I got my license to sin. No, it's not that at all, and you and I both know that. Like I said, you can't bring this to everyone because they'll misuse it. They're not. It's like giving something to this boy he's not prepared for. He's not mature enough for that yet, you see. My liberty in Christ is glorious, but it's anything but a license to sin. Yeah. What is sin? Y'all know? Transgression. Anything not of faith. That's the most simplest definition. What is sin? Anything not of faith. So if you have faith in, you know, you think David didn't have faith when he went and, remember, he ate the shoe bread? When he was running from Doag or whoever it was over to Abiathar the priest, and he took the sword and he ate, the shoe bread was only for the priest. He was hungry. He had faith. He had faith. Anything not of faith. What is faith? Things not seen. Amen. You see? And the natural man receiveth not these things. But you and I, all of you, haven't been with George that long. But Jeff and Travis and the girl, and of course Melissa, we go way back now. And man, we've seen all sorts of things. Like, and you, sometimes I look back and I go, yeah, we did that. You did? Was it wrong? It wasn't wrong at that time. You see what I'm saying? You know, the natural man crucified Christ. It was the natural man. And all in the name of God. That's the Jews crucified Christ in the name of their religion. And they did it by the law. By our law, they said, this man is guilty of blasphemy. And according to our law, he should die. Who is the Lord of the Sabbath? Who's your Lord? I preached on this years ago. I don't know. I probably have it recorded. New wine must always be put into new bottles. Y'all remember that? Now turn over to Mark chapter 2. And we get this account, Mark chapter 2, verse 22 through verse 28. And this really applies to this. It's almost the message I'm preaching in a different form. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, or else the new wine doth burst the bottles. And that's what happened with those Jews. It just wouldn't work, you see. And the wine is spilled and the bottles will be marred. But new wine must be put in the new bottles. That's why we must become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. Y'all remember that? And his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them that were with him. He had just a bunch of scallywag guys with him, and he gave them the priest's showbread. You see? And he said unto them, the Sabbath, the Lord said, Christ Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man and not the man for the Sabbath. That's extremely important. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, what's the penalty there? If we go back to Leviticus, and it was God said, put him to death. But that was the old bottle. It was the Old Testament. Now we have a new will and testament. Now we have a new bottle, you see. And there's a whole message there. Are you a debtor to do the whole law? Isn't that what James said? We were just talking about James. In James chapter 2 and verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Wow. I don't think I want to go down that road. Because now I'm already guilty of every... I've broke. And I've told folks this. Oh, look. Yes, I've murdered. Because he said, if you even look upon a woman, see? He said, if you already done it in your heart, you're going to tell me that had been somebody you hadn't thought about? Man, if I could put that dude out. Then you're guilty of the whole deal. Now, are there yet principles in Christ? Yes. And I observe some things, but not by law. I've always observed Sunday in a different manner. Not always, but as God gave me conviction one time. But as a principle. And as many hold different views on many different subjects. And they do. And we all do. We've already looked at that in Romans 14. And the answer is always Scripture. Always. You see? As I've always said, what may be sin for you is not necessarily sin for me, and vice versa. I don't know what convictions it is that God's given you. You know, on Sunday evenings, when everybody's gone, I often go out in the yard, and I've got a little rubber plastic, whatever it is, golf ball, and and I'll get out a 6-iron. I think we lost George. I'll get out a 6-iron and I'll hit that thing around the yard. Okay? And we've set up, we've played badminton on Sundays. Y'all remember? Okay? We've gone out and target practice. We've shot some guns on Sundays. Gather sticks. Hang on, let me. Gather sticks on Sunday. How many Sundays do I grill? Gonna grill this afternoon. Okay. So somebody that's very spiritual, please enlighten me of the law line in these circumstances. You see that road? You see where you'll end up? How about how far you can travel on a Sunday? I know we break that. You see? Are you a debtor to the whole law? Because if you offend in one, you're a debtor to the whole law. Paul really says it all in one verse, Galatians chapter 4. In verse 21. George, could you go to mute? I think it's George. Either George or Jeff needs to go to mute. There you go. Chapter 21. He said, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? And then he says in verse 31, after he goes on about Ishmael and Isaac and Hagar and Sarah, and he talks about the Mount Sinai and he talks about the heavenly Jerusalem, he said, so then, brethren, talking to brethren, going to be a Pentecostal. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, that says it all. Did you hear the law? Do you hear what the law says? And then he explains it. Ishmael or Isaac? Now, we can see the children of the bondwoman daily. I see it all the time. Who are the most law, to the death people in Islam? Ishmaelites, right? Man, they'll kill you for looking at them funny. If you say the wrong word, they'll kill you. You see? And this deal about the law, was it not all settled in Acts when the division came up among the brethren concerning circumcision? And James himself, there's James again, he straightened them out concerning the Gentiles, you remember? He said, I'm not going to lay all this stuff on them. Grabbing a bunch of Gentiles and breaking out Leviticus, you see, is the law good? Of course. But now here, listen, it's not a hammer. It's not a hammer. The hammer was put aside in the grace and love of Christ. He said, eat that corn, boys, if you're hungry. Eat the corn. How can you do that? You just broke the law. He said, I am the law. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And when he becomes your law, when he becomes the Lord of your Sabbath, it's all incorporated. It's all taken care of. The answer, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We read that, you remember? Let every man be. You say, well, this guy can do this. And that. Well, in a sense, yes. Like I told you before we started this, you must be mature enough You must have walked long enough down this road and know Christ enough and have Christ in you to go. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't explain that to people outside that. You cannot. Our roles in Christ are as different as that. Let every man be fully persuaded. As different as that. The man and the woman. Men, are there not different administrations in the New Testament concerning men and women? Way different. Do you see? Okay? As the body. I've always said we're a body. Well, maybe you're not the same body part I am. How different the body parts are in all of our body. The eye doesn't know. The eye and the feet are different. Do you see? It doesn't make one wrong and one right. It means they have different administrations in this walk of faith. Even as the seven churches, we talked about it. Man, these Galatians, they had this problem. They were so soon turned, and they're wanting to get back into the law. The Corinthians were fornicating, and these were doing this, and these were doing that. And Paul even asked, if you remember, he said, are all prophets, or all not teach? No. Or all do this, do all have to keep the Sabbath, do all have to meet on Saturday, do all have to meet on Sunday, do all? Or all this, or all that? But yet fitly joined together. Now, she's as close or even closer to Christ than I am. But in ministration of a woman, she cannot teach or usurp authority over the man. But you see, in Christ, the sex of one, the gender, it matters not because in Christ, there's neither male nor female. And that's another point where people, and they go, and they always start down these tangents, and that's how you get religions, and that's how you get denomination. So I might ask, as we were in Galatians 4, are you yet under tutors and governors? Under bondage to do the whole law. You know the Sabbath keepers. There's one in particular up in Tennessee. This guy that's always looking for Noah's Ark. I've been in contact with him before. And we know about the Kimball family, remember? And I always asked Josh. I said, your shirt's mixed fabric. See, once you start down that road, first of all, I'll tell you today, go out and buy you a total outfit, socks, pants, underwear, shirt, with no mixed fabric. Number one, if you can find it, better get your wallet out. Okay? So now we have mixed fabric. You see where this goes? So who decides which law we're to follow? And which law is no longer necessary? Who is that Pharisee? Where is that guy? I'll tell you where that guy is. He's in me. Because those Gentiles that knew not the law, but then they have Christ, now I become a law unto myself. I know what it is, and you do too, if you'll be honest. You know what it is. I can't do that. Okay, I can do that. Listen, there are going to be things that this boy can do, this boy cannot do. Well, that's not fair. He gets to do that. That's right, he does. Who decides that? I do. You see? But sadly, in most churches, it's not that way. It's like one law covers all, and we don't do this, and we don't do this, or we do this, and we do this. You know, Paul cried, have I labored in vain? We read, have I labored in vain? All this stuff of grace, and Paul was the the Pharisee of Pharisees. And he said, have I labored in vain? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I labored in vain? I can only say, be and do that which God has for you. If you have a conviction, live by it. But you'd better be careful in whom you desire to throw stones. Because Christ settled that in John chapter 8. You remember the woman caught in the very act of adultery? And those folks I know very, very well. Go to the book of John, then we'll finish right here. Book of John chapter, we know about the account in John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 5. And verse 18. Now, they're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. Okay? Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? He had broken the Sabbath. According to their law. They're going to kill the Sabbath. They want to kill the Sabbath. They did. You see, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. You see, I too have broken the Sabbath. And alas, I claim God as my Father. And I've had someone kill me. Isn't that so? We've all broken the Sabbath. And if you're in Christ, you claim God as your Father. You remember, man, I made them so mad. I thought I said, well, I'm not a sinner. What? Why, you're making yourself equal with God. No, he made me not a sinner. So, like I told somebody this week, in God we trust, all others pay cash. We used to have that in all the car dealerships. They don't use cash anymore, but in the old days, in God we trust, all others pay cash. And I think that holds true for this word. And it holds true for this book. In God we trust, all others pay cash. I trust God. I trust him to lead me on the day that we meet. I trust him to lead me if I decide to go fishing on a Sunday or a Saturday or a moon day. Do I think that we should set aside a day? Yeah, but not for the law. It's a principle of God. It's just something that we do. As in many, many of the other things that different folks do. So, these are things to keep in mind as you walk. Lord, what would you have me to do? You see, here am I, Lord. Send me.